Amen. Would you please be seated? And if you have your Bibles or Bible apps, now is a great time to pull them out as we will be continuing in the Gospel of John. Have you ever watched someone you knew was innocent suffer while others remained silent? History is full of examples. Truth is sacrificed for convenience. Our court systems fail to bring justice. Leaders are compromised. In today's text, Jesus' unjust trial is coming to an end, and Pilate declares his final verdict. We're in John chapter 19, looking at verses 1 through 16. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend to Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat him down on the judge's seat at a place known as the Stone Pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for our chance to be gathered together here as a congregation, as a community of believers, as brothers and sisters in the faith. We thank you for your presence here and your invitation to join you in worship. It is our prayer that all that we are offering you in the midst of this service is bringing you the glory that you deserve. In these next few moments, as we gaze into your word together, we ask that you give us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, as our text gets underway, Jesus is mocked in verses 1 to 3. Pilate began this trial in the latter part of chapter 18, but pauses here to have Jesus flogged. This flogging was a brutal affair. It would have left Jesus bloodied and torn. Some have suggested that this was Pilate's last act of desperation. He was hoping to dissuade the Jewish people. But then, we're told soldiers placed a crown of thorns upon Jesus' head. They wrapped his beaten body in a purple robe, and they mocked him as king, slapping him in the face. Ironically, everything they said was true. Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is Lord of Lords. Jesus is worthy of worship. Pilate avoids the truth in verses 4 through 8. He declares that he's found no basis for a charge against Jesus, and yet, though he is the one in power, he won't declare Jesus innocent. Jesus is presented once again to the Jewish people after the flogging. Would there be compassion from the people at this point? No. They shall crucify him instead. And they need Pilate to call for it because they do not have the authority to issue a declaration of a death sentence. They need Pilate to make that call. They believe Jesus must die because he has claimed to be Son of God. And Pilate becomes even more afraid. Yet in the midst of all of this, Jesus remains sovereign. They're back in the palace and Pilate tries to reason with Jesus. Yet Jesus refuses to answer him. Finally, it appears out of sheer frustration, Pilate says to Jesus, "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or crucify you?" Pilate flaunts his power before Jesus. But Jesus is actually the one in power. All of these events are determined by his sovereign control. Pilate has been given power in this moment to play his role in salvation history. And Jesus tells him. However, from then on, Pilate tries to free Jesus. The Jewish leaders continue to resist. There's a sense that this has all reached a fever pitch. Pilate presents Jesus as the king, hoping to calm the crowd, yet they reject Jesus and his authority. We have to wonder what is happening here. The long-awaited Messiah has finally arrived, and rather than receiving him, rather than learning from him, rather than preparing to worship him, they simply cry, "Crucify him." Has the crowd fallen into groupthink? Do they love their familiar ways more than their Savior? Are they simply thirsting for power and control? We have to ask if we are in danger of the same. Have we rejected who Jesus really is? Are there elements of his plan for us that we also rebel against? Would we be among the chanters on this day? Eventually, Pilate relents. He asks, "Shall I crucify your king?" They declare, "We have no king but Caesar." Pilate has lost his nerve. He fears Rome more than God. He prioritizes position, influence, and security over truth. And Jesus is condemned. Pilate hands him over to be crucified. Israel rejects their Messiah in favor of political power and security. Now, we're not meant to pity Jesus in this moment. We're meant to worship him. We're meant to behold him with faith. We're meant to proclaim Jesus as the one who willingly endured shame, suffering, and condemnation to make us his. Where are we tempted to compromise truth for comfort? What Caesar competes for our allegiances? In what ways does Jesus' willing suffering reshape the way that we respond to hardship and injustice in our world? These are questions for us to consider this week as we sit with this text, as we meditate upon what Jesus was willing to endure for each of us to make us his own. I encourage you to use the questions in the bulletin for your individual consideration this week. I encourage you to attend one of our small groups where you together can unpack these questions so that we realize what we witness in Jesus before Pilate and then the events that are to come as Holy Week transpires. It's more than just history. It's inspiration for the way that our faith comes alive today. It's inspiration for how we can live as devout followers of Jesus in today's world. May we behold our Savior Jesus. May we offer Jesus the worship and adoration he deserves. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, these latter chapters of the Gospel of John, really of all four of the Gospels, are difficult for us to read. It's difficult for us to be reminded of all that you were willing to endure for us. It's difficult to understand how people could lose sight of the gift of who you were and become complicit in the plan to kill you. We recognize as well, Jesus, that at times we lose our way. At times we struggle with mixed motives. At times comfort and security is all that we think about when you might be calling us to more. And so help us as we sit with this text. Inspire us as we sit with this text to grow in our devotion and adoration of you, to grow in our conviction of walking in your way of love in this world. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.